Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking and recapping all things Club America in English. We're going to get you guys caught up with the preview to the semifinal against Pachuca. And then, of course, talk about everything in regards to club news. I know there's plenty of stuff that we need to get through. Is there bad blood in the water? Well, we'll discuss all of that and much, much more. And joining me today to talk all things Club America in English is none other than Christian Rosendo and Chris Rivera. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good, I hope everyone's doing well. Interesting weekend we had, but I think we got to put that besides us because we have a final to play tomorrow. I think that the remaining games, or these next two games with Pachuca, we got to treat them as a final, right? I think we spoke about this beforehand. We've got to give it all. This is the one that many will argue is the more important tournament. We got to go out there and just show them who we are. The kind of team we are, and let's try to take an advantage into Pachuca.
Absolutely. Chris, how's the weather in sunny Orange County?
Not so sunny, very cloudy, a little bit of rain, kind of cold. I want to go get a haircut, and my barber was giving me the Edgar cut haircut. So I stayed there for a little too long. And when he was done, I was kind of like, hey, I didn't ask for that. And he was just like, okay, I'll fix it.
I'll try to get you going again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Christian.
Yeah, and I was just like, man, why is he taking so long?
Well, Christian, if you had to rate it 1 out of 10, how's the haircut for Chris?
10.
Solid 10. Look at that.
You guys lying.
All righty then. Well, aside from Chris's barbershop quartet situation, gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about in regards to Las Águilas de la América. Not only do we have to preview a semifinal, but we also have to kind of dissect a little bit of what happened against Pumas. I don't really want to take up too much time and talk way into detail about it because I think there's more important things at hand at the moment. But I do kind of want your guys' kind of two cents in regards to what you guys saw over the weekend. We'll talk about the bad blood that was Brian Rodriguez's red card, everything that's kind of spilled out after that because of it. But first of all, let's get started on the loss against Pumas. A loss in a Clásico is never ideal, Christian, but talk to us out of jumping out of the ledge here. Was the result as bad as it looked?
I think it was completely justified. I think that the biggest thing that America did wrong on Saturday night was that we played into Tigres' game. I think we saw everything from minute one, what their intention was is to really slow down the game, not really let us gain any momentum, kind of just make the game as short as possible, fouling us here, fouling us there. And unfortunately, it seemed to get the better of us throughout the game. And I thought that after we scored the first goal, that things could maybe calm down a little bit. Maybe we can try to implement what we wanted to do most. But it just seems like they were so focused on doing what they know best. And kudos to them. It worked for them. They picked the card and they played it, and it worked out. So I think the best thing for us is to kind of just learn from whatever happened. Fix the things that could be fixed. Maybe try to get a little bit more confidence back into Diego Valdez, into Quiñones, who I think had horrible games. Just try to get their mind reset because, like I said, we have a final tomorrow, right? And we need those two players to be at 100% and kind of just let whatever happens Saturday pass and, just look forward.
Absolutely. Chris, what would you add on to that? It sounds like, and me and Christian were talking about this before we started recording, it felt like Pumas had a game plan and we just absolutely fell into it, which was they were going to come at us. They were trying to get under our skin. They were going to come and hit us. Maybe, you know, kind of unnerve us in a bit because of that. What did you see on Saturday night?
I mean, typical Pumas game, right? Where they're going to hit us. They're going to make things uncomfortable. And if the refs are going to allow that to continue to happen, it's going to be an ugly night for us, right? They didn't surprise me, you know? I guess the frustrating part is you don't show identity, right? Or you don't show this character that you show against Chivas, right? Where it's like they hit you, you get back. Or you bait them. Instead, you get baited, right? We're going to talk about the Brian Rodriguez thing. But it's just one of those things where it's just... It was a good game plan from them. Nothing different that they brought to the table because that's usually how they play us. And if you really pay attention to the teams that have beaten us, it's usually that type of game where they make it very frustrating for us. Where they don't let you do what you're going to do. Where they're okay with stopping the play and hitting you, right? Whereas Jardines football is kind of play it until it gets open. And if they don't let you do that, you kind of see that everyone's kind of drained. I don't know if drained is the right word, but they don't seem energized as much as they should. And you could tell the frustration because of it.
I think that this game goes a little bit like 60-40, 60%. It was up to Pumas' kind of game plan and us falling into it. I think 30% was the fact that these players just really couldn't be asked for more. I was talking to Christian and they looked, I don't want to say they looked gassed out, but they looked a little bit uninterested. Like this game wasn't a priority for them. And granted, yes, it is a Clásico. On the hindsight, though, of what's to come, and I think this is just kind of the overall thinking of the club, is that Pumas game probably wasn't the most important one. Yes, it was vital because if you get the victory, then you secure first place. You don't really have to worry about the Puebla game. But in hindsight, you're thinking, okay, I'm not going to go at 100% here because I need to reserve myself a little bit for the game on Tuesday. Or at least that's kind of what I want to believe. And I don't know if that's reaching in any sense.
I disagree with it because of the lineup. To me, if you see what Pachuca did, they didn't send out their starters. So we did. We put in our starting 11. And to me, it is kind of a reach. I think simply... Maybe we were above the clouds, bro. Maybe we got to the point where we were like, it's Pumas. We haven't lost a Clásico. We're going to beat them because of who we are. Hey, bro, it's cool to believe that, right? Whether it's true or not, whatever, you know. But there is a thing about being overconfident. And I think that's what I felt we've seen, right? And I think that's where you saw the frustrations of Henry and other players because it's like, hey, we can't be overconfident. I'm sure it's not every single player, but there is some players that probably do feel, hey, man, we could play ugly and we win, you know, or these guys don't have the power that we have. And I think it becomes one of those things where you're overconfident. Your coach, I know Jardine wasn't overconfident because he put out the best starting 11, but the players did feel very like, you know, whatever, you know. And once they started getting hit, they look shook to me. They look like they weren't prepared to get hit. They weren't prepared for the ref to allow that many hits. And that's an issue, right? And I hope Jardine pays attention to that and calls them out, right? Privately, doesn't have to get all scandalous with it. You just tell them, like, hey, you guys need to understand that no matter what the ref does, what the opponent does, you still have to go out there and perform, and you can't let anything get in your head.
Yeah, soccer basics, soccer 101, play the whistle, right? And if you don't hear it, you can kind of keep going. Christian, do you agree to this kind of assessment that Chris is making, that it was part more or less a, what is the word that Chris was using? Overconfidence, maybe, or just a lack of confidence. What do you think it was? Because we were talking about it earlier, and we kind of chucked it up to Because I mean, Chris makes a great point. Like, Jardinet presents the best starting 11, but we didn't play like the best starting 11. We kind of played at medio gas. Like, we weren't really going full force. Like, even when we had the lead, you know, I think we thought we could cruise through this game, like Chris mentioned, because of, you know, the sense of overconfidence, your first plays, the season you've had, the fact that you haven't lost the Clásico. I think all of that maybe plays a factor here.
Yeah, no. I also do think that maybe Jardinet put out the best 11 just to kind of get them in kind of game form, got them all prepared up for Tuesday's match. But yes, that overconfidence is a reoccurring theme that we're seeing with this team, especially this season. And I think we really noticed it when we had our little three-game series with Chivas, how it seemed like in almost every game, as every game went on, I think we kind of played just a little bit worse in every single game, just because I think we thought that we were so much better than them. And it's the things like that that will end your season, right? If we go into the Pachuca next week and say we have a lead and we're going, okay, you know what? We're already gonna have the lead. We're practically already in the final. All it takes is one action, one dumb play, and it's like you're at a disadvantage now. But I thought that the players may have learned from, I guess, the Chivas series, but it seems like many haven't. And I hope that doesn't pose a problem in the year. But like Chris said, though, it may not be all of them. It could be just some of them, but that's when I guess you need your leaders to kind of step up and kind of just say something. And I think that's what we saw a little bit of what Hendy tried to do. Maybe it wasn't the best place to do it in public. Maybe he should have been taking back doors. Heat of the moment, I understand, not a problem. I'm sure it'll breeze by. It was just like an over-exaggeration from rival fans, from the media. I bet you it's all squared away. But it's things like that, though, that the leaders have to take account into and really drill into the players' minds that nothing is done, nothing is set. We haven't won anything. I don't care how well we're playing. I don't care how many goals we're scoring. We haven't done anything yet, right? We have the most important game of the season tomorrow. He needs everyone to be prepared for that. And if they're not, then we're going to have problems.
Absolutely. Christian Maria is saying absolute poo emoji from the referee. I do believe that the referee officiating was terrible. But again, I think it's just kind of a running narrative here that we have on the podcast. We don't really talk about the referee because at the end of the day, you can't control that person's outcome. What you can control, though, is how your team plays. And America didn't demonstrate that they were up to play that game at 100%. And again, I think there's a lot of contributing factors to that. But still, you know, a game in a Clásico like that should still be played out to full force. Dylan saying, I agree with Chris. Chris, that's the first time I think Dylan's ever agreed with you on anything.
He always agrees with me, just not in private.
behind closed doors. I see. That's the relationship you two have. Alrighty then. Well, let's just quickly glance over this because I think it's gonna move on and into the next segue of the episode. Obviously, as the beginning of the night goes, Henry scores the goal. Great. Gets the 100th goal. Reaches that mark. Absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, it's tainted and it's shattered by not just the result, right? Because who wants to celebrate something like that after losing a Clásico? But I think it's more or less also tainted by what you just mentioned, Christian, right? The whole argument between him and Brian Rodriguez. And more so, it was more of him yelling at Brian. I don't think Brian was having an issue with Henry. It was Henry went up to Brian and kind of gave him a stern talking to, a nice lecture by the captain. So let's break this down for people, right? And I'm sure everyone's seen it by now. Either they watched the game or they watched clips of it afterwards. Brian Rodriguez just stupidly gets himself sent off. And let's be honest, it was stupid, right? Huerta provokes him, falls right into the trap, aggregates, sees a red card. I saw no issue with it. I assume both of you didn't see an issue with that either, right?
No.
Now, the real question here is, did you guys see an issue afterwards when Henry goes and starts telling Brian Rodriguez off?
Nope. I'm cool with it. Christian? I'm cool with it.
Like I said, I think it should have been done in private. I understand, like I said, I understand the heat of the moment kind of situation, But I think that, you know, I understand why he was mad too, because we were chasing the tie, right? We were chasing another goal. So I understand why you would get mad. It's just that things like that, I don't think should be aired out in public. That's just my 2 cents on that.
Now, here's my follow-up. How much of Henry's frustration is due to the fact that it's because you ruined this game for the team? Or how much it is due to you ruined this night for me?
Make sure of both.
Because I think there's an issue. There has to be, for me, there's no issue if it's the first one, right? You're mad because they cost you the game. It's a classico, yada, yada, yada. I'm fine with that. If it's the second part, if it's you ruined a special night for me, that's a little bit too selfish for my liking. And if that's the case, then one, you shouldn't be arguing with another player because they ruined your special night. Like, whoop-de-doo. Like, you're just a player. You're no bigger than the club. But at the same time, like you mentioned, Christian, like, this is something that you can take behind closed doors if that's the case. So for me, if it's the first one, fine. If it's because you're getting mad at him because, you know, we're chasing the game, it's a classical, we needed him, he was vital, yada, yada, yada. Cool. Yes. Scream at him. We've all played. We've all been in the heated moment. And we all know what that's like. If it's the second one, I have a lot of issues with that.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have an issue with the second one, personally. Because, I mean, yes, it is selfish, right? If it's just that, if it's just the second one, I agree with you completely. It's very like, okay, now the locker room's going to probably look at you a little bit weird saying, okay, so your goal is more important than... Obviously, it's the same thing in the sense that is that we win, then the team wins and he wins, right? But if he cared more, to me, it's a little bit of both, right? You get subbed in and then 5 minutes later you get a red card in one of the most stupid plays that, right? He wasn't out there long enough to be heated or lose his mind or anything like that. You know, it's another thing when you're there 90 minutes and you're fighting this guy the whole game. Okay, I understand, right? There's players that are very annoying. You look at that play, it's innocent. It's innocent. It's, like you said earlier, he's getting in your head. So for me, I think it's both. I do think If it was just the second one, like you said, okay, I would understand how you could lose the locker room. And even the private thing, I don't necessarily get mad at the fact that he did it publicly. I just wish there were more teammates with him that were in his face too, saying, hey, you're ruining it for all of us. We've subbed you in. We have momentum, whatever the case may be. Like, we're close to this goal and you're ruining it. You're being stupid. You know, stuff like that. And maybe there's stuff that we don't know, right? There's context that we don't know. Maybe he wanted to leave and players aren't happy with him complaining about minutes. I'm not saying that's a thing, but you never know. To me, it's one of those things where just the whole thing. It's just stupid to be subbed in to help the team, right? We're talking about Quiñones not having a good game. And Ivan, I told you in the chat, I think this is a good game for Brian Rodriguez to play because it seems like Quiñones just can't dribble. He can't get past the defense. You sub a man and right away he's out. It's just, that's why I'm okay with that, right? And we're going to get into the whole trifecta thing and Igor's comment and all that. We're going to get into that, I'm sure. It just, like I said, I feel like some players aren't committed. And I feel like that's kind of, or not committed fully, but just in this game, they weren't committed. And I feel like there's frustration in that sense too.
Okay. Christian, your 2 cents on the matter.
I mean, listen, I don't know. Were there any reports that came out that Henry was annoyed at Brian because it ruined his night? I just don't see.
No, I'm just putting that into context. That's it. Thing.
You know, I'm so just excuse me if this sounds bad, but I honestly don't think that's the case at all. 1000%. I think the whole thing was just because, like Chris was saying, the team had momentum. It seemed like we were getting close to that second goal. You were brought in to help, not to put us at a further disadvantage. The captain is mad. You cost us pretty much the game, in a sense, or a chance to tie the game. That's the only reason why I see it. I don't think there's any other way. I don't think Henry is that kind of player to get mad at someone just because, you know, they ruined a night for him, right? I don't think him or anyone on the team, as a matter of fact, is like that. But I do agree with the fact that Brian was dumb on that play. He fed into what Chino Huerta was trying to do. Innocent, yes, but I mean, it's little things like that. Like I said, can cost you a game, cost you a series. And players got to be a little bit more level headed. Be a little more cool when entering these kind of situations, because you never know if we're going to be in a situation come the year time against any team. And you need to have your best foot forward. In terms of the whole commitment thing, it did seem, I think, Ivan, you touched on this at the beginning of the podcast, it did seem like this team wasn't really, I guess, fully invested in this game. I think that maybe their minds were somewhere else, or maybe they were just, I guess, paying more attention to the game we have tomorrow night. And I really hope that we weren't going at full gas because we wanted to reserve ourselves for Tuesday night. But, you know, it did seem like this team just wasn't at that level that we're used to seeing them. It seemed like they were just one or two steps behind on every single play, every single pass, every single decision making. Certain players weren't contributing like they used to do. Like I said earlier, Diego and Quiñones just didn't show up today. And when those two don't show up, it's really, really hard to get anything going.
I agree. I think when those two disappear alongside with Henry, it's just, it's a nightmare for America. But yeah, I mean, I just wanted to present that alternate situation just because it's the only thing that I presented in my mind that could be another factor as to why Henry Martin kind of exploded the way he is, because he's not that type of player. He, even when he goes and he confronts the referee or anybody else, like, he's not really a player that gets that heated in the moment. So for something like that to happen, I'm thinking, okay, it's a big night, special night, 100 goal. Like, look, you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue that the team isn't united. And I think a lot, if not most of this team, has the utmost respect for Henry Martin. You see it in the celebration, right? When he scores the 100th goal, everyone's going and celebrating with him. Like, you see all of that. Like, I'm not saying that this is not a unit and that people don't respect Henry, but if that was the case, then, you know, you could see how things could slowly start deteriorating for America. And this is the last thing you need in the most pivotal part of your season, right? This is when you need everyone to be a unit. I don't need you all to get along and have barbecues on the weekends or on your off days and call each other in the middle of the night. Like, I don't need that. I don't need you all to be best friends. I just need you guys to be a team, a group, a unit that can function, that can work together, that can play together. That's all that is required. And so we'll see what happens, right?
Can I add one thing, though? No.
Yeah.
It could be he was bothered. And like I said, like you said, we're just adding context to that, right? Maybe it is. It could be, you know, he got his 100 goal and they were about to announce his resigning. And he probably, you know, it ruined that too. It may be.
Yeah.
Maybe he you know, we don't know what type of social media messages he gets. We know how fans can be, right? Very annoying, very aggressive when it comes to these type of things. Obviously, I don't think that's the case, but it is possible that, hey, you scored your 100th goal against Pumas. We're going to announce that we extended you after the game and we win, and it kind of ruins it. Now it's like, well, when do we announce it? Do we announce it in the end of his contract? Like, maybe. I don't know, right? There's a lot of rumors when it comes to that contract thing. It's very similar to the Ochoa thing where last day of his contract, they say they're not going to negotiate no more and he goes to Italy. So, because one of those situations where the fans are probably like, well, we got to have something figured out because we don't trust Baños. And maybe, you know, that ruined it. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be. Like, at the end of the day, look, it's speculation, right? We're not here to start rumors. But, I mean, we do want to put, like Chris mentioned, some context into what's going on. So, that happens. It spews out. Like, we don't know the ramifications of this because we haven't seen how this team plays, right? We're going to see truly come tomorrow against Pachuca if at all there was any deterioration within the squad, within the dressing room. Israel Reyes came out today in the press conference, said that the group is united, that the team is focused, and really honestly kind of putting in quotations like what happened happened, and that's just kind of it. Brian Rodriguez came out and publicly put a message. Was it Instagram? I think he said, "You know, I apologize. Look, I got into the heat of the moment. I know that I was wrong, but I promise you, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna work hard. I'll see you guys Tuesday. We have a very important game." That, in a sense, gave me a bit of relief that okay, Brian Rodriguez comes out publicly, says sorry to the fans and kind of admits to his mistake, and now you're thinking, okay, we're looking good, because if there was bad blood in the waters, Christian, you would think Brian would maybe go MIA. We wouldn't really hear much of it. More rumors would start trickling out of the dressing room.
Yeah.
As of right now, it seems that, you know, maybe we got one or two players here that are a little bit uncomfortable. We'll talk about it because I think it's important. But for the most part, I'm getting a sense of like, okay, everything's calm in the waters.
I think so. I think that there was just a thing that was just blown up by fans and media. I think this probably happens more in practice than we know, to be honest with you, right? And it was just because it was done publicly, everyone started to blow it up. I think I truly do think that the team is still united, cohesive, and just looking forward to Tuesday night, because the series could honestly be won or lost here. And honestly, we control our own destiny in this series, I believe.
Absolutely. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's just briefly kind of end the discussion here with the last part, with the last section of this discussion, which is Igor Lichnowsky's comment on the trisecta. Is it the trisecta? I don't even know what it's called. A trifecta. Yeah. Whatever that podcast name is. Miguel Ayun comes out, and I guess Henry was supposed to be a special guest for the podcast that episode. Don't mind my camera. We're having the same issues as last time. But he mentioned something specifically, saying that, you know, Henry Martin wasn't in the right state of mind to come out and have a good time, you know, and enjoy himself during the podcast. But that he said he will be back, and he promised, he gave him their word that he will be back for the play-in week. So not next week, but the following week, he would for sure be on their podcast. Igor then, as Miguel Ayun was kind of explaining all this, says, well, I'm assuming that week has to go good for us, or else he's not going to come on. And he said it in a tone that, I don't know, Chris, is it me, or did it feel very condescending in a way?
Yeah, he sounded like a, I don't know if I could say the word, but that's how he sounded. He just sounded very, what's the word, bro? He just sounded like in a bad mood, like kind of saying like, oh, you yelled at my homie. I'm not cool with that. So I'm mad at you too. And I get annoyed of that, because it's like, come on, man. You guys should be feeling the same way, especially you that got hit a lot during the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially Igor. Igor should be the first one to jump on that and be like, hey, like, you know, I'm the one that's most upset about this situation. But I do feel like that, Chris, like it was a sense of like, hey, you're going up against my homeboy. Like, I don't like that. I don't care who you are. Like, it just felt very, very bratty in a sense, you know, like in a way he could have kept those comments to himself, saying like, oh, well, I guess it's got to be a good week for us or else he's not going to come on, type of thing, right? And then like, he tries to kind of calm the waters, be like, well, no, yeah, that's why he's going to go complain, because America doesn't have any kind of compromiso during that time, yada yada yada. Still, I think the way that Igor says that is frustrating, because it makes you feel like, okay, maybe there is a little bit of bad blood. Maybe there is a little bit of insecurity or kind of this dynamic. And Kevin Cameron was just playing the middle ground. He was like, no, yeah, I mean, it's understandable, you know, blah, 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 this and that. But his tone wasn't in any way demeaning. So for me, that was the thing. I was like, okay, Igor, what do you truly have to say? Like, what can you be upset about? Because Igor was the one to come and defend Brian Rodriguez when Henry was yelling at him, right? Kind of pushing Henry off, and Tanner was like, hey, you know what? Yeah, fine. Like, you know, leave him alone. He understands what he did is wrong. Yada, yada, yada. But again, you know, it comes down to, and it spews to this of, are they in the right mindset, Christian? Because they're doing these things outside of America on their free time, right? Like Midwestern Cholo says, Baños needs to ban the podcast. It's creating unnecessary controversy. And it was not the first time that this podcast is in the limelight for the negative side of things, right? It's caused controversy before. But Christian, how do you see this? Is this really something that needs to be kind of cut? Are we blowing this out of proportion? Are people being a little too soft? Like, what's going on in the world of America right now with this whole trifecta? I can't even get the word right here.
I might be in the minority. I'm not too sure, but I honestly don't care about the podcast. I think that the comment is being blown way out of proportion. I think that people don't need to mind. Like, what these players do at their own free time is what they do on their free time. If they want to relax and cool down and kind of just forget about the game, like doing this podcast, and I say let them, it almost serves as a positive thing to kind of just put it behind them. Yes, you may recognize your mistake. You do that in on the training ground. You do that in the training session. You do that in the video sessions. You recognize your mistake. You know what to do now next. You move on. That's fine. You guys gotta remember too. Like these guys, like they play footy for a living, right? Which is a dream job. Then again, it's still a job though, right? They need to do stuff on their free time. It can't be about footy 25/8. And if it is, that's your own personal choice. But I think if Igor and Kevin wanna go out and do a little podcast for a couple of hours to kind of just cool, lay back, talk, let it be. In regards to the Igor comment, I really didn't see anything wrong with it. It's like it's just like anything, right? Henry's not obligated to be there. Igor, in a sense, kind of is because it is his podcast, so he has a responsibility. We don't know if he's still upset over last night. Maybe he didn't show it, but then again, like you guys say, one never knows what goes behind these players' lives, right? And if Henry didn't want to be on the podcast because he was mad about yesterday and he wasn't going to provide, you know, content, I think he was thinking about everyone. He didn't want to give out a bad showing to the fans. He didn't want to be a bad friend to them three by not being in the correct state of mind. And he did say he was going to show up another week, right? So it clearly seems like he doesn't have a problem with any of them if he's willing to still show up within a couple of weeks, right? Like I said, blown way out of proportion. I think people, the media, need to just relax on them. It's their own thing. Let them do whatever they want. But as long as they're still responding on the field, as long as we're still winning games, we're still first place, we're still the best team in the region. Like everyone's acting like the podcast dramatically, hindered our performance. Like we're losing 5 games in a row now and stuff like that. Like I don't see a correlation with the podcast and performance. Like I don't know where everyone's getting that from. It's like I said, I think blown out of proportion. People need to find a new thing to kind of be mad at, honestly.
Krepigness says, I think the hate for the podcast is blown way out of is way overblown. It's their own free time, kind of like how you mentioned, right? And Chris Ramirez says, might be on an island on this one, but I like these type of podcasts. Gives you a chance to be closer to the players. Chris, yes. Where do you stand on all of this?
So I hear everything Christian's saying. I don't disagree. And then there's the free time. And if you were to ask me, what would I prefer? And I would prefer they would do stuff like this, right? Like is there free time? If they're not recording themselves and they're just kicking it, what's the difference? I completely agree with everything Christian's saying. My issue though is they don't read the room. And what I mean by that is we lose yesterday, and then and you go in a very bad way against a rival, right? And you go and kind of just whatever. Like if it didn't happen, that bothers me. I don't know if you guys follow the players on social media. There was a game in CONCACAF. I don't know if it was really Stelly or Chief or New England or Chief. I don't know who it was, but I get a notification and it's Layun and Igor going live at 1 a.m. to talk about the stream. And to me, that's when it becomes a distraction to me. Fans are commenting saying, oh, your form is, Kevin Alvarez, your form is bad. I forgot what game, maybe you guys could remind me, but he cost the game and they went off on him. And instead of just saying like, oh, I'll get better, which he does later on do that in that podcast, right away him and Igor start trolling the fans about their little podcast and all that. And that's, for me, that's when you don't read the room, right? You don't have to go out there and defend your podcast. They go be all very defensive. Just be like, look, like, explain. Just explain to them. It's our free time. If we're not recording, we're still kicking it. Like, we're just enjoying ourselves. We're not prioritizing this. Just us kicking it. And we did it to distract ourselves during Liguilla last year when we ended up being champions. And then instead, you see, like I said, like you keeping up these players at 1 a.m. to talk about a stream. To me, that's like you're, like you out of everyone, right? Who understands what this hatred is that players get, and it's just, I don't know. I don't have an issue with the podcast in itself, but I do think they just need to read the room. They need to understand that why they get, you know, people come at them. It's not like they're married to this, right? Like if they were to stop tomorrow, it's not like they're contractually like obligated to do all this. Only issue, and Brian Rodriguez stupid dance, I don't like it. That's because the song is horrible. That's the only reason. But other than that, I hear what everyone's, I'm going to sit here and be like, oh, no, they all have to be. And like, no, do stuff like that rather than just kick it, right? And they were streaming video games. Who would care, right? Literally the same thing. So I get it from that perspective. But like I said, there is little moments where I watch or I think it's just like, okay, that annoys me. Like, you guys are not as serious about the club as your teammates are. And there's a lot of players that are very serious about the team. Henry, Valdez, Hidalgo, Quiñones. Like, you hear them in the interviews, and then you kind of see stuff like this, and it's just like, well, can you really blame anyone for throwing hate at your pod? Like, no. Like, I understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, I think it's important that these guys get a sensibility of reading the room. Maybe they do read the room, and they just choose to ignore it, A man that's famously known for being able to read the room perfectly is our late guest. It is none other than Mr. Dylan, a.k.a. Cowboy Dan himself. Dylan, your thought on this whole trisecta podcast drama that's been spewing over the America Twitter for the past, what do you want to say, 48 hours? Well, 24 since they podcasted yesterday. Your 2 cents on all of this drama.
Look, My thing is with and listening to this while I was getting home from work and figuring out some other things, I agree with Chris and Christian. Like, you know, at the end of the day, these guys are humans. You know, they're gonna kick back, relax somehow. They're gonna chop it up, you know, and you know, unwind somehow. I think it kind of just goes back to obviously, I think how things are reported, how things are taken in context, and how that is given out to the media world. I really don't read into it all that much because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we don't obviously know what's going on in Guapa. We just hear from just a couple players, you know, here and there, and you know that's just what, 2-3 players' opinion at the end of the day. But I think it's more of just taking having to take that with a grain of salt because we don't know the full story. You know, there's a bunch of players on the team. There's a lot of people in Cuapa. I mean, they honestly know what's going on. I mean, we could sit here and obviously speculate, but at the end of the day, it's just how that information is taken, how those quotes and those words are taken, and how it's people are going to take it at the end of the day. So that's just where I sit. I mean, this podcast is nothing different than, like, I think Chris said, you know, even if they didn't do it and put it out there, they would probably be sitting at home doing the same thing, probably saying the same stuff anyways.
Yeah, we live in a different time, right? In a crazy time where it's more about the digital footprint and its kind of presence online and kind of having that image. And I agree to the extent that this podcast should not be in any way controversial. But I think I agree with Chris in a sense that you need to not just only read the room, but you need to understand where you're at. I think that's the most important part to me. It's because they take it as if it was all just jokes, right? Like you have to understand that you're an América player. That comes with its responsibilities. That comes with the limelight, the pressure, the constant eyes watching over you, right? If we lived in the day and age, and let's say our podcasts were popular back in like 2005, 2006, 2007, if Cuauhtémoc Blanco started a podcast, do you think any of us would be sitting here and kind of bashing him for it? I don't think any of us would. If anything, we all would be like Chris saying, you know, Chris Ramirez saying that, you know, it helps you get closer to the player. And then I don't disagree with that in any sense. But you know what I don't see Cuauhtémoc Blanco doing? I don't see Cuauhtémoc Blanco not behaving as an América player, even when he's not on the pitch or training. Because he understood what it means to be an Americanista, right? You could talk your BS, you can talk all your nonsense. And Cuauhtémoc Blanco was known for that, right? Yeah. Cuauhtémoc Blanco was known for being a very outspoken person. But I don't think he would ever necessarily cross the line where we would say, yeah, this podcast is probably not a good thing for him. Or this podcast is probably hurting the team. Because he was a leader, because he was a captain, because he understood the role. And most importantly, he understands what it's like to be an América player. So I think there's a way to conduct yourself, to be able to go out there on your free time and enjoy yourself and record and have a laugh or a drink with your friends and just kind of just shoot the shits and just kind of have fun. But again, there's a demeanor and there's a certain expectation that people will have when you represent America. And I think that's, for me, the thing that I see lacking at times, right?
Okay, true. But then, so now you have to blame everyone that's involved then. So then that means we should start bashing Fidalgo because he made an appearance on the podcast then?
No, but you see the way that he conducts himself during that time he's there.
That's just his personality though.
Exactly. But that's why I put Cuauhtémoc Blanco as a perfect example, because I feel like if you put someone like that in that situation, he'll be able to joke around with you, he'll be able to mess around with you and all that stuff, but he'll never cross a line he will always represent himself and as Americanista. Like, he will put the club first over streaming or over going live. Because I think
I do agree with the comments that are saying that they maybe they do need to be a little bit more careful about what they say. That part I do agree, because at the end of the day, they know that they're famous, right? They know that they're being recognized by everyone. They know that anything they say will be blown up. But also I just don't understand the hate that they get for doing a podcast if it's in within like their personalities, right? Maybe Henry and Cáceres and Malagón don't have the personality to be to host a podcast. Malagón has done like two podcast interviews in like the past 2 months. Why aren't we bashing him for doing podcasts?
Yeah, no. And the same, like, whenever, I think Chicote Calderón went to like Angulo's podcast, right? Podcast, or something like that.
Exactly, yeah. And with the rival player too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, that's why I just don't understand why they're getting so much hate for having a podcast when literally it's done on their free time, doesn't interfere with America stuff. I do remember one time Igor not being on the podcast due to team activities that he thought it was a better thing to be with the team than to kind of be there with them. You know, it's just if we're gonna start hating for people doing a podcast, then the hate should be distributed equally amongst the whole team.
Well, Dylan, there you go. They should start hating us for having a podcast.
Yeah. Well, hey, Christian. Hey, Chris. Hate Ivan. Hey, I guess we have to hate poor AJ. Like, AJ hasn't been on in so long, and we have to hate that dude now.
Yeah, because he's at the heart of it all, to be honest.
Yeah.
Poor AJ. But he's watching the ladies win right now, so I think he'll be content with that, you know? So,
look, I guess that's that odia me mas mentality, right?
No? Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll keep it at that, though. I don't want to give it more light than it needs to be, because I do think we need to talk Pachuca, and this is a very important game. But yeah, honestly, we'll see what the ramifications of all of this is. We'll see what happens. But all right, gentlemen, time to talk CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinal. The objective was clear at the beginning of the season, right? It was this reaching the 8th title for Champions Cup, Champions League, whatever name you want to give it to this competition nowadays. America's so close to the promised land, but I believe we're going up against probably the most toughest opponent yet this season. And probably the hardest match or the hardest matches of our season are coming up, Christian. What do you got to say to that?
I'm going to keep my comments I made 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that I think that America should have no problem in this series. I think that in our earlier game in the season where they did win, we were faced with numerous factors that kind of led to that. I do think that while that's not an excuse and Pachuca did play better than us that day, I do think now today's versions of both teams, I think America is just hands down the clear favorite. We are better than them in every single position. We're playing like, besides Bar Saturday, we're playing like a team that knows what their goal is, what their objective is. And I do think that the players know that this is the important tournament because this is the ticket to the Club World Cup. So they're going to treat it with the utmost seriousness heading into Tuesday night. And also, like I said, we're kind of in a little bit of roles reverse because we are playing the first leg at the Azteca, right? So I think that's going to be a new setting for everyone. And I think we need to take advantage that we do have the first game, kind of set the tone for the rest of the series and give us a good advantage heading into Pachuca, right? But like I said, though, while I do recognize what Pachuca's doing, I think Chris put it perfectly to describe their season, that they're overachieving. And I just don't think that's sustainable. And I think that the moment's going to get too big for them. And I think that's where America will capitalize. Whether it be a hot take or not, I don't think America should have too many problems in this series.
Dylan, do you agree to that? Because the way I'm looking at this game is, you're shaking your head, no. The way I'm looking at this game is, you know, the reason why I say that this game is the biggest challenge and probably the toughest opponent that America has yet to face this season is not necessarily because Pachuca is doing things amazingly as far as CONCACAF Champions Cup goes. Of course they are. They haven't lost a game and they've been blowing teams out of the water. And in the league, they've been doing stuff to be all right. But I think it's the ghost of Pachuca past that haunt America and America fans, that you kind of feel like, can America finally get over this hump? Can America finally break this curse? And I guess the question is, you know, will we get that answer come Tuesday?
Yeah, I think I'm on the same board as you, Ivan. I think in terms of just this tournament, I think this is going to probably be a big test for this team. I think I've pretty much said it to pretty much this whole tournament so far. I think aside from league, that I have not really trusted this America side in the form that they bring. Granted, you know, obviously you blow Revolution out of the water over two legs, but before that, you're going into that series 2-2, which you lose to Real Esteli, and then you lose to Chivas. And plus, too, I've never felt comfortable going to Hidalgo. I mean, having the first leg in Hidalgo probably would have made me a little bit more comfortable, and having that second leg back at home. But I think tomorrow is actually going to be a really big test for this team, especially maybe seeing how they played out against against Pumas yesterday. You know, a little worrisome considering that, you know, Chris said you had a good chunk of your starters out there, and to play flat, to play pretty weak, wasn't the best look. But I think, you know, tomorrow is going to be a tale of like what this team is really made out of. You know, if they can get a big lead to take to Hidalgo and make Pachuca chase the game from there. But, you know, I think this is going to be a test for the team in terms of just looking at this tournament, the way the team has played over the tournament. Really, honestly, aside, I mean, I don't even really count the Revolution game, but, you know, still haven't really seen that much of a complete series from this team in terms of this tournament.
Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, I think it's, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, Christian?
I don't know. I'm not too sure where you're trying to hint at right now.
I'm just trying to get over the hump of this Pachuca past, and at the same time trying to kind of, you know, go about how Dylan was mentioning that this team is a different one. Like we've seen results that have, you know, prevailed this tournament so far, and learn from, you know, previous iterations and from previous mistakes, like the game against Chivas, right? The second leg, learning from that and capitalizing on a good first leg against New England, finishing off strong in the Azteca. You know, Dylan mentioned about the fact that this is a first time that America gets scenarios flipped around, and you mentioned it too. Like, you know, we have to adapt to not closing a game now, right? It's setting yourself up to prevail. So the question is,
we seem to kind of come into the second like overconfident ex the Chivas series.
Yeah. And I mean, the perfect example too, last season, right? With the whole Atletico San Luis situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting. I do want to take you guys on a trip to last season, and where we discussed about how this team was finally breaking stereotypes, right? The main one being the game against Monterrey. We blew them out of the water in a stadium where we most notably were always getting pummeled. Results were always going up against us. Calls were always going against us. And America broke kind of that stereotype, right? And it seemed like that season progressed, more stereotypes were being broken. And it felt like Jardine kind of had it fixed. Had like this giant guajolote egg and just did a whole limpia on America and found a way to just absolutely kind of reverse the voodoo, and results were being broken. And so does something like that give you a little bit of boost of confidence coming into this game, thinking, okay, we might have something here to kind of finally break this curse? Because it does feel so much like a curse, because we haven't been able to get one over Pachuca.
I just feel that the team right now is in a position that we've seen like no none, right, in the past recent years. I think that we are just levels ahead of this team. I think I saw someone in the comments say that Pachuca's defense is terrible, and we have to take advantage of that. We have all the right capabilities, all the right players to take advantage of that. I want to touch on something you guys said earlier too about Pachuca and in this tournament. We also have to realize the teams they placed, to, you know, no disrespect to Philadelphia and Herediano, but they're not really A-level competition, to be honest, right? And if you think that those results are going to impress me, it's just not going to work like that, right? I understand we struggled against Real Esteli, but that was in the beginning of the season. Still finding a little bit of our form, whatever. I understand that. But I think that the team has learned from that. I think the team has grown. The team has matured, molded better. And like I said, though, I just think that we're just in a better position, and that's why I'm sticking firm to maybe my hot take of the whole season, that I don't think we should have that many problems in this series.
All right. Interesting. Definitely a hot take indeed. Chris, we talked about curses. We talked about those horrible, horrible past matches against Pachuca and knockout stages. What is the one thing that is filling you with some sense of confidence coming into this game tomorrow?
You know, when I first got into the podcast, one thing that I brought up was my uncle always saying, sometimes it's good to have these losses so you don't get them sooner, right? Or later in this case. Maybe losing to Pumas is one of those restarts that is really going to help us. Where, oh man, it was frustrating to watch, but at least now it's like, okay, we know where to work on. We're not getting this win after win after win where it's like sometimes it's flawless. Now it's like, okay, we know what we're not going to allow them to do. And if they do, we know how to counter that. So maybe that is kind of right. Also, I sent you guys that every team that Henry Martin has scored on while we were in America, and Pachuca is number one in that list of teams that he scored on the most. That's very good to see because we have two important games, and if he's able to score that many times in his career against that one team, then it's not an unfamiliar situation, right? So I'm not overly confident. But like Christian said, right, we kind of briefly talked about it in another podcast where, hey, you look at that lineup where they beat us. It was a very ugly lineup. You know, a lot of players were in bad form. No Henry, no Valdez. And we lost a 2-1. I remember it being a very ugly game for us. But still, a 2-1, you know, if we go out there with our best form, if they show up the same way as well, I don't know how they could beat us. I don't want to be overconfident because of our history against them, but it is a very big positive thing for us leading into this game.
Okay. Dylan, talk to me a little bit. Talk to me off the edge, off the ledge necessarily here, and pull me back and give me some form of confidence. What do you see this America side is going to do differently from that defeat in earlier in the season? But most importantly, you know, what do you think Jardinez telling these players to kind of get them prepared for the task at hand?
I think I kind of piggyback off what Chris said, you know, too. I think this loss, you know, is going to propel them to something, to realize that they don't want to feel that way again, that they don't want to get, you know, a little bit embarrassed like that again, you know, especially whenever, like you said, they probably went in with that high of a confidence. I think Jardinez is going to look at this and I like you kind of mentioned before, like you talked to the team of like, hey, like, you know, this game is probably the most important one of the season. We got a lot of work to do and we need to take advantage of this now while we're at home, because we're on the other side of this. You know, we're not going to have that second leg at home to where we can come back, you know, and take it to them and you know, get what we need. Like, we have to get what we need now, and then whenever we go to the Hidalgo, we have to know that the task at hand after that. I think really too, looking at this, is that this team really needs to, I think, understand like what's at stake here. You know, there's a lot at stake here. I think, you know, a good majority of us too realize that. I think this tournament is probably the first priority. I think everybody can agree that winning both the league and Conca is important. But I said if I had to pick one, it's going to be Conca. So this game is riding a lot, especially with me, with how I haven't really felt comfortable with how this team's played so far in this tournament in terms of form, regardless of the Revolution series. So really, I think Jardinez needs to beat a lot into this team that this game is important. This game is going to make a break and really define, I think, this team's story of who this team is. Like, because a good chunk of this team just won the championship in Apertura. So I think Jardinez is saying, like, do you want to continue writing your story and win Conca now and be part of that history?
Yeah, kind of bathe yourself in glory and kind of the history that they would make would be unprecedented, to be honest. So, it's interesting to kind of notate that. I mean, like you mentioned, right? It feels like a very make or break moment in the season. just because we know what's riding in this competition alone. So we'll see about that. Christian, you mentioned it. America kind of controls their destiny in their own hands, especially with this first leg being at the Azteca, right? You can win the series or you could potentially lose the series here. We know that America at Hidalgo has never been promising. We've never had the best of luck going away there. Dylan's already shaking his head. No, because we've seen it too many times. Too many times. Especially if the players are wearing their mother's names on their back. That Mother's Day game is, it will always haunt me in the Liguilla sense. But talk to me, what does America need to do? First of all, formation wise, what do you see? Do you see the same repeating starting 11 that we did against Pumas? And then talk to me about, tactically speaking, what does America need to do to kind of put Pachuca on their heels and really kind of make this game ours?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, yes, I do think that we'll repeat lineup. Bring out your best 11, like we've all said here. The most important game of the season thus far. Controlling our own destiny. This is the way to do it, right? We have a chance to set the tempo for the rest of the series, and we get to do it at our house. So let's go out there and set the tempo. In terms of tactically speaking, I think that attacking the spaces is going to be key. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I think that Quiñones and Sendejas do play very well into the space. That's how we got the chance in the Pumas goal, when Sendejas got behind the defender and ultimately provoked the penalty. I think if we just attack those spaces that they're going to leave, we should be in pretty good shape. We're probably the best counterattacking team in the league. And when these four juggernauts are just running at you, it's very hard to stop, right? Especially if Valdez and Quiñones can kind of find their form again. Sendejas is playing lights out. I don't think he's had a bad game in God knows how long. So if we can continue to keep riding that wave, we should be pretty good. Attack the spaces, finish your chances, and, you know, just stay composed in the midfield.
All right. Let's see if that's the case. And I think that's a good game plan, right? That composure. I will argue that a result hinges on what America does defensively. And if you can walk away with a clean sheet, then it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. And look, America is no stranger to clean sheets, right? They are a little bit in this competition, but I digress. As far as what this team has done all season long, defensively, we're the best in the league for a reason. And I think if we don't make silly mistakes or silly hiccups, like, even if you're winning this game 3-0, which I think is a drastic prediction, but even if you're winning this game 3-0 and you're down to like the last 5 minutes of the match and you make a silly mistake and you give Pachuca that one and it ends 3-1, I don't think any of us are sitting there and thinking, all right, we're still in the bag. All of us are thinking, okay, they got one back. That means they only need 2 goals. It's at home. Hidalgo, the pressure. It's not the same. So I think managing the game and having that composure that you mentioned, Christian, has to stem from what we do defensively. And I think defensively speaking, America needs to start doing that from attack to defense. So I do expect America to have a high press. I do expect them to kind of force a mistake. I think someone mentioned that Pachuca's defense isn't as solid. So maybe putting those youngsters in a situation where, okay, you're pressing them, you're giving them a little bit of that experience of what a semifinal is, and maybe you use that experience over them to put them in tight situations. That's what I want to see. An America that has a clear picture and a clear idea of not only how are you attacking, but how are you defending? Because this does have to be a very well-rounded series. And it starts off with a good solid 90 minutes at the Estadio Azteca. And if you can prevent a goal, then I think that's huge. That's clear. But of course, you need to score as many as possible as well, because the larger the gap, the better you go into the Hidalgo. Not necessarily confident, but the better you go into that game thinking, okay, it's more about managing the game rather than chasing it. Because at the point where you start chasing it, starts becoming a little bit more difficult as the minutes progress. So we'll see what that happens. But Chris, your 2 cents on this.
I agree with everything you said, man. I think we can't allow it's tough because let's say we do have like a 4-3-0 lead where they don't score on us. You go back to that Chivas game and how just confident they were, overconfident. They allowed Chivas to get back in the game. And Pachuca has a better finisher than Chivas. They have, I don't know if I would say they have better players because I think they have a lot of unknown. But it's one of those things where it's like they really have to be on their A game in both legs, regardless of the score. You have to just be on it because let's say we do win a big lead. And we have a big lead in this first leg. We go home comfortable. Hey, man, history shows that we're never comfortable, right? And that's where I'm worried. But I do agree that we do come off even worse if they have that one goal where they have that one goal where we win 3-1 instead of 3-0 or 4-1, stuff like that. And I agree with you. That's where I'm just like, okay, now they have less to score. And the chances of you not showing up is greater because of your history. So I agree with you completely. Everyone has to be on their A game. Everyone has to go for goal. Everyone has to defend. Everyone has to try to win the field. It can't be like the game in season. While, like I said, Christian's right. We overrate Pachuca because they beat us 2-1. When we had key players that weren't there and we had players that weren't informed, we had rotations because of CONCACAF early on. It no excuses, right? Because we talk about the depth, but at the end of the day, it's very deceiving how they beat us and also how far they've gotten, right? Herediano, okay. Who else they faced? They faced...
Well, Philadelphia was supposed to be an easy task because of, you know, right now I think the only MLS team undefeated in the season. But again,
they faced someone else.
0-0.
Exactly.
Who else did they face?
That's it.
They faced another easy team. I'm not trying to
just Philly. Just Philly.
Oh, yeah. Indiana. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to discount the whole Philly game, but either way, like, Herediano, right? Like, I know they're going to say, oh, well, you guys made real steady, but it's still like, it was shorter games. They just had a easier path, and I think, you know, deceiving. There's a lot of things that are very deceiving, and there's a lot of things that are very unknown by them because they have a lot of youngsters. But I do believe that, you know, we have to be favorites, and we have to go all out in both games. It can't just be one game, and then the next game, we just pray that they don't score on us because things could get very ugly over there and against that team.
No, I agree. I agree. You have to take both games very seriously, regardless of the scoreline, right? Even if you win 4-0 at Estadio Azteca, you still have to go out there and Hidalgo and play that game like if it's 0-0, or maybe like if you're even trailing, in a sense. So I do agree that, you know, there's a game management that has to come with these games. And it all starts tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. But yeah, should be an interesting one. Tomorrow's game is at 7:15, I believe. 7:15 p.m. Pacific, 9:15 for you, Dylan, Central Time, and 10:15 Eastern Time for you, Christian. So not the latest of games.
It's a pretty late, though.
Well, midweek, yeah. I guess, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. But all right. Anything you guys want to add on before we talk predictions here? Nothing.
I'm good. All right. I said my hot takes already.
Okay. Well, let's see how confident or overly confident we are coming into this one by your guys' predictions. Chris, I'm throwing it to you first.
Hello?
Chris?
Are you there?
Chris?
I heard a beep beep. Hello?
Did you... I think Chris is the only one
on the podcast never fails.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, can you hear me?
Yes.
Then what the hell's going on? I'm so lost now. Can he hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear
me? Bro, I heard it was beep, beep. Yeah, I could hear you, but I heard a beep, beep. I'm like, what the hell's going on in the back?
Okay. All right, well, just give us your prediction for tomorrow's match.
I'm going with the 1-0. I think it's going to be a very contested game. And I think we get a goal and we win, but I don't think it's going to be this high scoring game. I think it's going to be very tough. I think for them, they're going to try to hold a close lead to try to take advantage at home. And I think it's going to be a difficult game for us at home.
All right. Very conservative result. Okay. Very conservative right there. Christian, what are you going with?
3-1, America.
3-1. Oof. I'm loving it, but I'm not liking the one.
I'm sorry. It's just that we just always tend to let a goal up in the dumbest way possible. And
that's why I want to avoid. But
contrary to what Chris said, I'm kind of more on the opposite side. I do think that this game will be a little bit back and forth because America does, in my prediction, go up in the 2-0 lead. They're not going to want to probably go back home down two goals. So they're going to kind of just maybe push their lines up a little bit, maybe get a little bit of loose. That's maybe we sneak the third back in there, and then they get a little flaky goal here and there. But hopefully 3-1 tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Dylan, what are you going with?
I'm going to go with 2-1.
Oh my God, another one. These are not results that are giving me the... Well, Christian's is the best result so far, but okay, 2-1. It's still a result, I guess, that America can manage. I mean, I'm trying to convince myself here. So, okay, Dylan, 2-1. Do you got Henry scoring?
I do. I always do.
Always. Always bet Henry to score. Love it. Let me read some predictions here before I give my crazy take. Well, maybe not as crazy as Eddie's. Eddie's going with a 4-0 America. Boy, Pachuca's defense is not that great. And he's saying, he sees division. He's saying America's going for a 4-0. Would absolutely be amazing.
I would love
Chris
that.
Saying 2-1 to America. All right. I think that's it as far as predictions go. I guess I'll go with I'll go one less than Eddie in craziness, and I'll go 3-0 for America. Christian, what are the chances? What's the percentage here? What are we looking like? What are the odds that America can walk away with a 3-0 and kind of, better yet, let me rephrase it. What are the odds that America can walk away with a result where you say, okay, the series is done and dusted? Is it plausible? Is it even in the scope of reality?
Probably not, but I don't think 3-1 or even 3-0 is far fetched though. But that might be a bad thing, saying that getting a 3-1 is possible, and that not meaning that the series is done just because of how we know this team plays in second legs. That's my only issue.
Yeah.
So it is possible for a 3-0. It's just that I guess we're all not confident enough to say that the series is over because of that.
I don't think I'm confident to say it's over if it's 20-0.
I just
don't have the trust in Hidalgo and Adon.
I agree with you, Dylan. I don't think there's a number you could put out there that you could think, like, you know, a plausible number that you could be like, well, I mean, even that 4-0 that Eddie's talking about, I'm thinking, well, what if Pachuca gets one back like early? Like they score like within like seconds, and then you just start thinking the team goes down. Like it's just you know that your head starts going and starts spinning.
That's why you're saying the clean sheet is so important, because we get an away goal, everything changes now for them.
It puts
double the pressure on them now, literally.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you bring that up, because it's crucial. Like this whole time, this whole CONCACAF Champions Cup series, we've had that kind of comfort of, well, we have the away goal, we're fine.
Yeah.
Now it's turned on us, and now it's like, okay, we need to make sure that we keep these guys at bay, because that away goal is golden.
And plus, too, I just see it too. Because I mean, look over the course of the whole season between both competitions. I mean, how many times have we heard from Ivan talking about Quiñones because he's missed something so easy? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I mean, that's part of the game. But I mean, like we could look back at this game and tomorrow or after tomorrow, and if the game ends up being, you know, 2-1, we could say here, like, well, this Quiñones miss or this miss or this miss, and we could have been sitting here probably sitting talking 4-1, but you know it's just that's part of the game, but that's just the way things have been too with Semedica side when it comes to attacking. I mean, sure, we can go all out and we can, because I mean, I know Pachuca's leaked over 20 goals, almost 30, I think, so of just in the league itself, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just, are we going to have those finishes? Are we going to have those finishers like we know this team can finish?
Yeah, that is the most prominent question to kind of keep an eye on. So, good things to note from Christian and Chris. I mean, Christian and Dylan right there. So, Chris, anything else to add on before we wrap it up?
I kind of want to change my prediction now that you guys brought up the away goal, because I completely forgot about that.
What are you going with? Maybe you went 1-0. What are you changing it to?
No, I know. I said I kind of wanted, because I thought about it. For some reason, I thought there was no away goal. I don't know why that whole thing was gone. No, so I think so. Now I do kind of agree with Christian on the 3-1, 3-0, because I do think we have to. I do think we have to be aggressive in this game.
Yeah, we do. We have to.
Yeah, I was, for some reason, it didn't come to mind about the, because you said it with this whole tournament, we were the second leg, right? And now we're the first leg, and we have to pretty much get the away goal. And then if they don't score, like you said, we score one goal over there, and it's pretty much wrapped up, you know? So maybe a 2-0, 3-0 was more likely, I think.
I'm fine with the 2-0 also.
I think they're going to be aggressive too, but if they're aggressive with it, that opens up the door for us, you know? Exactly. So I get it. For some reason, I just thought like, oh, no, we're going to go to penalties.
It's all come full circle. Do I really need this? Yeah. I'm a little like a complete idiot.
Well, we'll see. And look, I'm just saying, all I want is a victory. We'll work it as we go. Trying to put these ghosts of Pachuca past behind us and kind of start hopefully breathing a little bit more calmly after Tuesday night's game and worry about the following week after that. So, yeah. We'll see about that. But yeah, good thing all around. Good stuff. Good predictions. Good comments. That'll be pretty much us for this episode. We'll be back next week, though, to recap whatever happened in the Estadio Azteca and look at that terrifying, but very terrifying second leg at the Estadio Hidalgo, Dylan, where we will all have our rosaries and maybe a little bit of holy water to kind of get us through the next match, because it does seem to be a nightmare whenever we do get to go into that stadium for knockout rounds. Kevin Perez saying Columbus versus Monterrey predictions. Quickly, if any of you have one.
Columbus wins the
series. Columbus wins. Yep, I think so too.
All right, look at that. Okay, well, I'm jumping on that train. Columbus wins.
I will say I do want Monterrey again. I do want Monterrey to make up for
that. I don't mind Monterrey. Yeah, I don't mind Monterrey. I'm just saying that I think that Columbus will beat them.
And you know what? It would be in their stadium most likely, Dylan. Yeah. If we do get them in the final. So it would be, and it's a one leg series again, like we did in 2019. Or was it 2020? No, it was 2021.
I think it's supposed to be 2020, but they postponed to 2021, didn't they?
Correct. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good. Good stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, there you guys go. Like I mentioned, that is it for us, unless any of you guys have anything else to add.
I'm okay.
God bless everybody.
I want to say if when we're talking about the podcast and Ivan brought up that if Cuauhtemoc Blanco would have had one, I think he would have benefited from it because of his political career. But that's just my two cents.
You know what I think he would have had? I think he would have had an OnlyFans.
Oh my goodness. Imagine.
Oh man. Okay. We'll leave it at that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll leave it at that. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. Thank you guys so much. Dylan, thank you so much for taking out the time. Christian and Chris, thank you guys so much for hopping on the podcast. I know we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but hey, we made it through another edition. All right. Thumbs up. Thumbs up. Nothing else to say, gentlemen?
I really hope my hot takes pay off.
All right. I think we all are, Christian. I think we all are. With that said, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. Also, a little update. America Femenil ended up beating Pumas in the Clásico Capitolino. So AJ is ecstatic, and I know he'll be celebrating. So, Christian, if you see a man that is arrested because he was just shirtless and just jumping around, it was probably AJ. So,
probably was. Wearing this shirt, too.
There you go. Wearing that iconic Eagle Eye podcast shirt. All right. With that said, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.